Our scripture this morning again are three couplets. The first, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Galatians 2, 19 and 20. These are words from Paul. For when I tried to keep the law, it condemned me. So I died to the law. I stopped trying to meet all its requirements so that I might live for God. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. In James 4, 7 and 8. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come to you. This week will be my granddaughter's first Valentine's Day at her daycare. She's only 2 and a half. And so for her, this simply means giving little cards of Disney princesses to all her little daycare friends, and also getting from them the things that they find special. I imagine there's going to be plenty of Paw Patrol and Bluey, and of course, princesses. We fast forward this innocent little time of card exchanging, 10 years. Now our little two-year-olds are 12. And handing out Valentine's becomes a much bigger deal because we don't want to give the wrong impression with the wrong card, or we want to give the right impression with the right card. And so this simple little handing out thing becomes complicated and intense. And then we get into the adult world, where my husband describes Valentine's Day as forced romance. He's not a big fan. We didn't get engaged on Remembrance Day. A few days later, but not on Valentine's Day, I mean. But statistically, more people get engaged on Valentine's Day than any other day in the year. Not really surprising. I mean, it sort of seems appropriate if you're going to ask someone to marry you that you are in fact asking them to be your forever Valentine. And I'm sure those words have been spoken in some cases. Now, as the legend goes, Saint Valentine, for who the day is named, secretly married Roman soldiers to their brides when the Emperor Claudius II strictly forbid his soldiers from being married. He wanted them fully devoted to the army and not to be distracted. So Valentine secretly married them. Well, this was eventually found out, and he was executed on February the 14th in the year 270, so a little ways ago. And from there became Valentine's Day. At first, it was a memorial day to honor this individual, and well, 10 centuries later, it has been reshaped into some romantic affair that involves flowers and chocolates and dinner with the looming question, will you be my Valentine? And that's a loaded question, at least when adults ask it. Maybe not so loaded when you're in the third grade. Because this question is inviting us into relationship, into commitment, into unity. And Jesus asks us, will you be my Valentine? Will you enter into a committed relationship with me that will make us one? I mean, this is a marriage proposal. The church is the bride of Christ, after all, and we are invited into this proposal. We are already the object of Christ's affection. He is madly in love with us, and he has proven his love at the cross. So what is left to be done. The ball's in our court. All that remains is the answer. Our acceptance. Do we say yes to Jesus? Yes, I will be your Valentine. And to accept the invitation is to put our trust in the one inviting us. Trust means to believe in the dependability, the truth, the aptitude, and the strength of someone. To trust Jesus means that we believe in his steadfast love for us. We believe he is the truth by which we are to live, and that he is more than able to fulfill his promises, and that his strength is a source for our strength. So will you be my Valentine really means, do you trust me enough to commit to me? Do we trust Jesus with our heart? Giving away our heart can be a scary thing, for there's always the fear that somewhere along the way, it'll get broken. Do we trust Jesus with our heart? Do we believe that in him we will not be disappointed? Are we willing to love him with all that we are? Romans 5:5 says that this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Do you trust Jesus? Do you trust Jesus will lead you into a most amazing life? As we read this morning, we are to trust in the Lord with all our heart and to not depend on our own understandings, and that when we seek his will in all that we do, he will faithfully show us the path to take. And when that path doesn't make sense to our human brain and to our human reasoning, we are to disregard our own understanding and trust in the divine way of Christ, to follow his way. Because we know from Isaiah 55, God said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." We are so incredibly limited in what we can comprehend and understand. And so to trust God and to lean on him means that we will make better choices, even though in the moment it might feel hard or awkward or maybe even wrong. A common hurdle that people have in fully trusting Jesus and following his way is that we trust our own discretion, our own plans, and our own thoughts more than we trust God. I mean, we've never led ourselves astray, have we? Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but it ends in the way of death." We've been homeschooled in the wrong school, and much of our thinking isn't pure. Much of our thinking is based on things we've learned that maybe aren't the best thing. Vengeance, revenge, hatred, bitterness, anger, those are all things that dwell within us. And sometimes, if we let them, they'll lead us. But Jesus says, "Trust me." And when those things seem like the right answer, trust me when I tell you they are not. But instead, it's forgiveness. It's praying for your enemies. It's blessing those who curse you. Fully trust God means to surrender those things and to submit to God and his ways. And to surrender our ways and our dreams and even our desires. And to embrace what God offers and follow where that leads. Because that leads to something better than we could ever imagine on our own. Do we trust Jesus to lead us into the most amazing life. Do you trust that whatever you have to give up is worth it, and that it is ultimately better for you? I mean, what is it that we are asked to give up? Malice? Bitterness? Slander? There's a load of things we're asked to give up. And giving up each and every one of them is better for us. We know that it is. In the weeks ahead, we'll be looking at more of those things as we move into a theme around putting on and taking off. There are many things we are asked to take off, and every one of them is better for us. Matthew 16:25 says, "Whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Giving up those things saves you. It saves a lot of grief and a lot of pain. God also says in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, and they are plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Being Jesus' Valentine means committing and dedicating ourselves entirely to him, becoming devout followers of Jesus Christ. Not just wearing the lapel badge that says, "I am a Christian," but to let it be who you are deep within you. As followers, we will put complete confidence in Christ and in his promises found in his word. To trust Jesus means to believe everything he said and to accept his word as true. Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Jesus also said, "Who the Son sets free is free indeed." It is a freeing thing not to have to carry bitterness or anger or unforgiveness. And the more we know and abide in the words of Jesus, the more we easily obey him, and the more our confidence in him grows as we experience that true freedom. As we read in Galatians, Paul describes the surrender like this. He said, "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." Christian, the word Christian means little Christ-like ones. And so when we allow ourselves to be crucified with Christ, all that old nature stuff to be put away with, we make room for Christ in us. And as Paul says, "I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." To be Christ's Valentine is to live in Christ, to abide in him. And that comes about strongly when we know him by spending time in his word. James helps us a little further with his instructions to humble yourselves before God. And humble is translated submit, which means surrender. We can trust God so surrendering our ill-conceived ways to his perfect plan really should be easy. And after we submit, we are able to resist the devil because we are founded on better ways and better thoughts. The devil's strategy against us is always about our thinking, giving us wrong thoughts that we grab hold of and muse over and over. We take one tiny word spoken against us and turn it into a big affair. But when we humble ourselves before God, and when forgiveness is at the forefront of our thinking, we can resist the wrong thoughts. We can put them out of our heads. And that's resisting the devil. And when he's got no playground, he goes somewhere else. So he flees from you. When Jesus is our Valentine, when we are the bride, we come close to God. And James reminds us that as we draw close to God, God draws even nearer to us. Think of the grandchild who comes to give you a hug. Who's really hugging who? As they put their little arms on you and you squeeze the life out of them. That's what God is like to us. We make the little motion with our tiny little arms and God embraces us tightly. He draws even nearer to us as we draw to him. Jesus is the perfect Valentine because he is fully dependable and he is fully love. And he seeks what is best for us always. Jesus never asks you to give up something that's harmful to you. He asks you to give up things that are harmful to you so that he may bless you. He's always looking out for your best interest to give you the best life that you can live. And he could be trusted like no other. So if you haven't already asked or accepted his offer to be a Valentine, I encourage you to make this year the year. The year that you fully commit. The year that you begin living the life that Jesus died for you to have. The year you learn his ways for your life are the better ways. We have gathered embraced by the love of God and embraced by the love that we share together this day. We have gathered inspired by the life and witness of Jesus and inspired by the life and witness that we make together as we remember Jesus. We are gathered empowered, enlivened, and encouraged by God's Spirit and empowered and enlivened and encouraged by each other gathered here. So now let us go to be bearers of hope and light and love, to be makers of peace, justice, and joy. We go in the name of God.